And now it's time for Friday Morning Scattershoot with your old pal Junior Miller right here on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket.
And it's brought to us by the good folks at Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. Scatter shooting while wondering whatever happened to Dorsey Levens.
Dorsey Levens.
Since we have Cowboys Packers, that's an old Packers running back. Put up a couple thousand yard seasons.
Yeah, he's all right.
What a series the Cowboys-Packers matchup has been over the years. The two have met 34 times in the regular and postseason, and the series is currently tied 17-17. Mm-hmm. Lombardi's teams dominated in the 60s, winning the first six meetings, including the legendary Ice Bowl. Dallas won eight in a row against the Pack in the 90s, led by the Triplets. And lately, the Packers have dominated, winning five straight until Dallas broke that streak by winning back in October at Lambeau. Did you know that the Cowboys have scored more points against Green Bay in the postseason than any other team Dallas has played? The Cowboys have racked up 202 points in seven playoff meetings with Green Bay. They've scored 184 in seven meetings with the 49ers and 174 in eight playoff games against the Rams. Next season, the San Diego Chargers will be the Los Angeles Chargers, returning to their roots. The franchise originated in L.A. in 1960, then a year later moved to San Diego. Hotel heir Baron Hilton was the team's original owner, and he was also invested in a new credit card at the time called Carte Blanche. Legend has it that he nicknamed his team the Chargers because he wanted to promote the new credit card. But several Chargers historians have debunked that tale. The real story is that Hilton liked it when, at USC games, he would hear the bugle and then the crowd yell, "Charge!" So he decided to name his team the Chargers.
I always thought that was kind of a funny name as a kid, the Chargers.
Baron Hilton, by the way, sold his interest in the Chargers in 1966 for $10 million after an initial $25,000 investment. And following the death of Bills owner Ralph Wilson 3 years ago, Hilton, who is now 83, is the last surviving member of the Foolish Club, the nickname the original AFL owners gave to each other for their attempt to compete with the NFL. And if that wasn't enough on Baron Hilton, he is also the grandfather of last week's scatter shooting target, Paris Hilton.
So he brought it back full circle.
And now you know the rest of the story. Longtime Panther and Raven great Steve Smith retired last week, ending a Hall of Fame receiving career at the age of 37. In his formal retirement letter sent to Commissioner Roger Goodell, his opening line read, "This is to notify you that, as of today, I, Steve Smith Sr., will no longer be antagonizing defensive backs."
Pretty funny.
Before the title game on Monday, we saw Peyton Manning and Steve Spurrier come out for the coin toss, two members of the newly announced College Football Hall of Fame class of 2017. Also in that class, former Aggie and Cowboy great Dat Wynn, Matt Leinart, Brian Urlacher, Marshall Faulk, Kirk Gibson, the baseball legend who was also a wide receiver at Michigan State, and Adrian Peterson, not the Sooner, but the Adrian Peterson who played at Georgia Southern. The Rangers lost a family member this week when the great Jackie Brown passed on to that big baseball diamond in the sky. Brown was a pitcher for the Washington Senators and later the Rangers after the team moved to Arlington. His best year with Texas was 1974 when he won 13 games with an ERA of 3.5. He then served as the Rangers' pitching coach in the late 70s and early 80s. Jackie Brown was from Holdenville, Oklahoma, and was 73 years old. Also this week, the Rangers announced their new television broadcast team. Dave Raymond will return for his second season as the play-by-play man, and he'll be joined in the booth for about 100 games by C.J. Nitkowski, the former Major League pitcher who made a brief stop in Texas in the early aughts. Nitkowski will do about 100 games with Tom Grieve providing color commentary on the other 60 or so broadcasts. It'll be Grieve's 23rd year in the broadcast booth and 49th overall with the franchise.
I heard CJ on, I think with Bad Radio. I think he's going to be good.
I do too.
He sounded pretty sharp.
In last year's NCAA tournament, Texas A&M staged the greatest last-minute comeback in college basketball history when they beat Northern Iowa after trailing by 12 points with 1 minute to play. This week, Reno staged the second greatest last-minute comeback in college basketball history when they came from 11 down to beat New Mexico at the Pit in Albuquerque. Wow. The Wolfpack trailed by 25 with 11 minutes to play, by 19 with 4 minutes to play,
whoa,
and 11 with 1 minute to play before winning the game 105-104.
Man, how about that?
George, you're a good golfer, and you're still looking for your first hole-in-one.
Still.
Well, I hate to tell you that this week, 52-year-old Jeffrey Simeona carded not one, but two aces in one round.
Whoa.
Oh.
At Murray Parkway Golf Course in Utah, he aced the 150-yard seventh hole and then the 139-yard 14th hole.
Okay.
Two holes in one in one round.
He's pretty better legit. Than you. Better than you.
The new Ticket Stock song is a reworked Tears for Fears song. And I love it, by the way. And we were discussing the band yesterday, noting that they hadn't put out an album since 2004. Well, Larry, the email pest, sent me a story about, that's right, a new Tears for Fears album due out this year.
Yes. It's awesome.
And not just an album, but they are planning a tour as well.
Thank you.
Scatter Shooting will let you know which Starbucks they'll be playing as soon as it's announced.
You're a jerk.
You're a jerk.
You finally had the courage to go back out on the road, and you've already defeated them.
This week's least competent criminal is James Walsh, who was arrested in Port St. Lucie, Florida, at a Walmart after carting out an unpaid-for big-screen TV. Walsh said he had swiped a TV the day before with no problem, so he returned the next day to steal another one, but he failed to notice that on that next day, the store had a Shop with a Cop event where St. Lucie County deputies were buying toys for kids. So they easily nabbed him. And finally, a teacher asked her class to use the word fascinate in a sentence. Molly put up her hand and said, "My family went to Granddad's farm and we saw his pet sheep. It was fascinating." The teacher said, "That was good, but I wanted you to use the word fascinate, not fascinating." Sally raised her hand. She said, "My family went to a museum, and I was fascinated." The teacher said, "Well, that's good, Sally, but I want you to use the word fascinate." Then little Johnny raised his hand, but the teacher hesitated because she had been burned by little Johnny before. She finally decided to give him one more shot, so she asked him to use fascinate in a sentence. Johnny said, "My Aunt Carolyn has a sweater with 10 buttons, but her boobs are so big she can only fascinate."
Okay. All right. I like it.
Just ain't, huh?
I like okay. it.
That's Friday Morning Scatter Shooting, the only radio segment in America that delivers an ultra-premium level week in and week out.
Thanks for hanging out with your old pal, premium. Junior Miller, for another edition of Friday Morning Scatter Shooting. We'll see you next Friday, right here on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket.
What the hell?